This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, December 22nd, 2024. Christmas Unboxed, the gift of love.
There we go.
That's cool.
Gift of love.
Gift of love. Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when Fiona sang at the first service, I was sitting over with our daughter, Erin, and tears were just coming down her face as Fiona was singing, and she whispered to me, that's how old Mary was when she was carrying Jesus. Wow. Just think about that. Mary was so young, yet so obedient and faithful. And Mary brought in the light of the world to us, and Fiona did such a beautiful job as she shared that message with us. Well, let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for this day. Pretty cold out there, but we're all in here, and there are a lot of people joining us online. Settle us in so that we aren't distracted by things that don't need to distract us right now, so that we can lean into your word found in Scripture, to the message on the gift of love. We give this time to you, Lord, in the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody agreed and said, amen.
Amen. So it's the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. We talk about Advent as a season of preparation, a season of waiting, preparing for the coming of the baby in a manger, preparing for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The actual meaning of the word Advent is arrival. Arrival. And so Advent signifies the start of an event or the arrival of a person. During the Advent season, we remember and celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, here on earth. Amen. Amen.
So if you've been here during this Advent season, you've noticed that we are unboxing Christmas, hence all of the boxes and our delivery service each week. If this is your first time, that's what it's all about, unboxing Christmas. Kind of getting away from the glitz and the all that Christmas frenzy and trying to boil it down to what is most important. And what we find is that we started 3 weeks ago as we unboxed hope. Say hope.
Hope.
Yeah. And then the following week we unboxed peace. Say peace.
Peace.
Now last week, what did we unbox? Joy. Absolutely. Today, we are unboxing the gift of love.
The gift of love. The gift of love. You know, one of my favorite Christmas short stories is written by a man by the name of William Sidney Porter. You may even know him better by his pen name, O. Henry. This story was published in 1905. Wow, it's almost 120 years ago. And it's entitled Gift of the Magi. It's a story of a young husband and wife and the challenges they face buying Christmas gifts for each other with very little money. We know about that back when we were first married.
Well, actually, we really know about it when we went into ministry.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Quick synopsis. Jim has a pocket watch, a family heirloom. It's his pride and joy. His wife, Della, has long, gorgeous hair. That is her prized possession, let's say. Each, since they don't have any money, sells their prized possession in order to buy something beautiful, something meaningful, something memorable for the other. Jim sells his prize watch in order to purchase valuable, bejeweled, ornamental tortoise shell combs for his wife's long beautiful hair. She cuts her hair and sells it in order to buy a gold watch chain for that precious watch that Jim has. Yeah. You know, neither knows what the other is doing in these absolutely unselfish exchanges.
How ironic it is that they sold their prized possessions for the sake of another, something special, something that really had true value in order to bless the one who they wanted to bless. You know, they thought about the welfare of the other before the welfare of themselves. This gift of Magi is just so beautiful. It reminds us of the gift of the newborn son. God knew that we needed help. God knew that we were lost. And so he sent his son, Emmanuel, as we sang, God with us, for us. So this story of Jim and Della is just a beautiful story, and it symbolizes on some level what Jesus did for us.
Well, the story of Jim and Della, the love they had for each other, is really quite a love story. It's incredible. But that story, there's that word "but" again. Notice how often we say that word here in church. But it pales in comparison to the love God shared with us that first Christmas. As wonderful and unselfish as it was to give up his watch and for her to give up her hair and order to purchase gifts for each other, Jesus entering the world as one of us, the sole purpose being to ultimately sacrifice his life, was the most wonderful, the most unselfish gift of all time. This act of self-giving, the Father giving us the Son for our salvation, was the greatest love gift ever. Ever.
So speaking of love, there's a chapter in the Bible that is super focused on it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you've been to a wedding or two or 10, you've heard this scripture. We kind of say, oh, that's the wedding scripture. Actually, Paul wrote this, but it wasn't intended for weddings. It was intended so that he could share the importance of love and its role in our Christian life. And he wrote it to a church in a city called Corinth. Corinth was a seaport. It was a very busy place, lots and lots of people. And this particular church wasn't a church full of Jews, but they were Gentiles. They were non-Jews. They were people newer to the faith. And so as time went on, this church in Corinth kind of became on a slippery slope, and things began to get a bit diluted. The city was filled with immorality. The city was filled with idolatry. And, you know, our surroundings reflect our church, don't they? And so this was seeping in the church, and there became a lot of misunderstanding about Christ and the gospel word, the message. And there was also a lot of heresy, which is false teaching. And so Paul wrote this to the Corinthians to identify a problem, but also give a solution to teach believers how to live in Christ, for Christ, in the midst of a corrupt society. Sound familiar? Yeah. So here's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
And if you've heard this at a wedding, you've probably heard maybe half of it, if that much, because it usually just talks on love is, and that's basically the purpose at a wedding. But we're going to share the whole chapter because it's much broader than that. And I want you to not think of it, oh yeah, I've heard this before at 100 weddings. Give yourself a chance to just sit back and really hear what Paul is sharing with these newfound believers in the church who are being dragged in different directions with what's being taught falsely And he's trying to tell them, this is the truth. So this is what Paul writes. He says this, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, remember how Jesus talked to you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain how much? Nothing. And here's where he outlines what love looks like. And just stop and think about each of these things. Love is patient. You ever get less than patient with somebody? No, not me. Yeah, most of us. Love is kind. That's a great word, isn't it? Love is just kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Figure that. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The truth. It protects. Always trusts, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
So I thought I was going to be okay this service. Because when I heard this scripture, I've heard it, I know it by memory. It has just got me today. Different than it's gotten me other times. You know, this world, it's a tough place to be, isn't it? And there's all this rage out there, and people just look over each other, and we don't see each other. We're in stores, and it's like not kind. And it's really up to us. It's up to us to show this to other people, whether we know them or not, to be kind and patient, not arrogant or rude. You know, over the years, when Alan and I were first in ministry, we were in separate churches, and, you know, we kind of did our own thing, and then after it was all over, we're in, you know, doing life. But when we teamed up to plant this church, to start this church, you know, some of the back and forth bickering kind of stuff, it doesn't work anymore when you're a clergy team and you have some words at dinner and then you have to come to a meeting at 7 o'clock or teach the scripture.
Or to worship if you do it half an hour before worship starts.
Before worship. Like, I remember over on Green Street a lot of years ago, we were preaching on something, and I'm like, oh gosh, we just had, like during the offering, we were.
What was that? What was that? Oh.
And I can remember, I'm sure many of you weren't there, but I had to like apologize to him on the stage. Because you can't do this if you don't work on this. And so every one of us needs to work on this in our relationships and out there where we are.
On stage or not.
Yeah. On stage or not, because it's up to us to make this a kinder, gentler place. So I'm going to continue. Love never fails. I'll say that again. Love never fails. Oh, yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes we mess up. Relationships blow up. We aren't the kind of parent we need to be. We aren't this. We aren't that. We don't love the way Christ taught us to love. But the biblical kind of love, that never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a woman or a man, a human, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. For now I know in part. Then we shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, say it with me, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Mm. So we have here a basic instruction as to what is important. What is crucial when it comes to following Christ? Apparently, some in that church thought that speaking in tongues was the be-all, end-all. Others thought that the gift of prophecy was the gift you gotta have. For others, it was the gift of knowledge, others the gift of faith, and still others the gift of generosity or giving. And Paul points out that these gifts are important. They are used. I mean, they're gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if one doesn't have love, these other gifts are absolutely meaningless. Without love, we are nothing. Nothing at all. And then Paul outlines what this love, this agape love, this unconditional love, this love that has no boundaries, he outlines what it looks like. To sum it up, it's a love that is all about other. Look through this list. It's a love that doesn't point here, but points there. Not about self, all about other. The whole chapter then boils down to these three things: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
So when Paul wrote this, I mean, he didn't write chapter by chapter. I don't think he was writing a letter, but it's divided up for us, so it's, you know, easier. And this particular part of his letter, Paul is basically giving us a picture of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. To follow, you know, it gives us an example of how we should be. Because God is so loving and God is so patient. Thank you, God, for your patience. Thank you, God, for your kindness, compassion. That's chesed. We've been talking about that over the last few weeks. God just loves. Pure and simple. And God does not keep a record of our wrongs. You know, we keep records. But in the scripture it says, when we come to God, when we repent, when we confess, it's wiped away. Wiped away. We can't fathom that. We can't understand it because we can't really do it. Well, we probably should, but we don't. Gosh, God rejoices in the truth of his word and rejoices in us when we live by the truth. Jesus is truth, capital T. Another name for Jesus, truth. God does not delight in evil. God perseveres for us, right? Protects us. God holds us close. That's the God we know, what we just read in scripture in this Corinthians. And Jesus' life mirrored these attributes of love as well. And so everything boils down in the kingdom of God to a four-letter word, and it's love. 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 At Christmas, we especially celebrate love. The love that came to us in the form of an innocent newborn baby born to the Virgin Mary for us. Love.
So this love that came down at Christmas is truly a gift. It's a gift. We say this over, you're probably sick of hearing it, but we say it over, but we can't say it enough. We can't say it enough. This baby in a manger that God shares with us is a gift. And any gift, any true gift that is given, it's a gift is given. You don't purchase a gift for yourself, do you? A gift is given to you. Jesus purchased the gift with his life, but we can't purchase that gift. Gifts are received, they're not earned. Gifts are accepted, even though they're frequently not deserved. This gift is, you know, I've talked a couple times about the perfect gift. Part of the perfect gift is it's extravagant. It's not something you would buy yourself. This gift is so extravagant, it's beyond anything we could get ourselves. This gift is given with us in mind, as Jesus came to save us from ourselves, from our sins. And it has the giver in it. It has the giver in it. You know, Jesus told Peter much later in life, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Like Father, like Son. The ultimate gift, the gift of love.
So in our preparation for today and in our research, because we check out, we work hard at this, we found that, and this was a surprise to me, but the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the nativity story and Jesus' birth story, doesn't even mention love. Isn't that interesting, kind of? Now, we do find it when Jesus is baptized as an adult in Mark, and it's what God says when he came, a voice from heaven came down when he came up out of the water. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. But that's the first reference in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Now in John, the first reference of love is John 3:16. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world. Who's the world? It's us. Save us through him. Can't save ourselves. It's through him. And so, while love wasn't mentioned in the beginning, from page one to the very end of this scripture, this is a love story written for us. And I call it God's love letter to us. So love is just permeates his word.
John 3:16, 17, we share that here a lot, don't we? Sometimes you might get tired of hearing it, but you know, we can never share it too much. It's so worthy of repeating, especially here at Christmas. God so loved us that he left the glories of heaven to share life with us here on earth, to walk with us, talk with us. He came to join us right there in the stable of life. And you know what you find in stables, right? They're not gussied up, cleaned up, bright, sparkling places, are they? He joins us right in our muck. Now, each of us has it, the muck of our lives. Father gifted us that baby in a manger so many years ago that we would know just how much God loves us so that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life if we believed in him. All we have to do is believe in him. Came into the world not to condemn us. You know, it's so funny how we think God's out to whack us. That's not, it says just the opposite. Christ came into the world not to condemn us, as some would believe, but to save us. to save us through him. Love came down at Christmas. Wow.
That actually was a poem written by, I love this name, Christina Georgina Rossetti.
It's got a rhythm to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And she wrote that in 1885.
Wow.
And then it was made into a tune and a Christmas carol. Love came down at Christmas. It's the divine love of God, the holy love of God, the perfect love of God that came down to earth as expressed in his son, Jesus Christ, the newborn king. And so in other words, Jesus, and Jesus alone, came from earth to heaven, came from heaven to earth to save us, and oftentimes from ourselves. He came to, in our lives that are kind of messed up or full of grief or full of this or that, and I've certainly had a full of lots of things that God has had to deal with me. He came for that. And all of us have stuff that we're full of, and he came for you. Love came down at Christmas, came down 365 days a year, but we focus on it now. The gift of love, the divine gift of love.
You know, sometimes, maybe a lot of times at Christmas, we kind of lose track of this love fest that God has for us as we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the season. You know, making our list, checking them twice. Sometimes we get distracted from what this thing's all about. But in the midst of all the distraction, it is possible for us to unbox love, the love of Christ. Like when we are giving gifts to friends and family. When we're able to give gifts, not as an exchange. You know, we say, oh, it's a gift exchange. That's not really gifts, because you're expecting something in return. A true gift has no expectation of return. When we give for the sheer joy of knowing that we got that person something they are going to love, and we're just going to love watching them open it without any expectation of return. It's the joy of giving and not getting. That's what love is. The love of doing for others, not for self. As God did for us with the gift of Jesus Christ there in the manger.
And love isn't just about people that we're close to, that we know. It's sharing love with people that we don't know. And Connection Church, you rock. You have been doing that this whole fall season. It started with the kickoff with Operation Christmas Child and 800 plus boxes that were sent or being sent across the world. And that's because of you. And that's loving people that we don't even know. We just finished up the Mitten Tree ministry. There were 9 families that received a full Christmas because of your generosity. And then the Middletown Hose and the Middletown Fire Company, they called us and brought like bags and bags and bags of toys. And we knew of 3 more families that needed Christmas, and they were provided for. And then our food ministry, which is a year-round sharing love to people that we don't know, but we've gotten to know some of them, they got to come in and pick out gifts for their kids and their family, their loved ones. See, this is sharing God's love, agape love. It's unexpected, and there's no, you know, there's no return. We just give. True confession. I had this like special box of candy, like hidden away. If somebody came to the house, I'm like, oh, here's your gift. I decided to not do that anymore. I put it out and we're going to eat it. Because No.
Do we have to?
Because that's not about, it's not about that.
Yeah.
It's not about that. And I just did that this morning. So just so you know, I had something hiding around. It's like, nope, not going to do that. Sharing love. Sharing love without expecting a return.
Mm. You know what's cool about what Carrie just shared is that that when the firehouse, you know, I think this was last week ago Saturday, they had a gift collection, you know, that ever, all kind of gifts come in. I mean, just the extras they brought out. But they knew that we were a place that could do something with them. I love being that relationship with the town. Even though we're outside town limits, we have that relationship with the town, with the people in the town, with the organization in the town, that they know that we're that kind of place that can do something with those gifts, and that we know the people who could use them. Isn't that just incredible? I just love that. Love came down at Christmas when Jesus came into that manger in Bethlehem. And that love continues today. The question this morning is, have you truly received that gift of love? Do you know the gift of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you said, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. I'm a sinner. I need you. Please come into my life. I need a Savior. I'm not the Savior. I've heard you're the guy. Come into my life. Have you done that? And if not, I would encourage you, why wait any longer than right now? The people back in the prayer corner,
if you
need to pray with somebody.
Diane's over here.
Who? Okay. If you want to pray with somebody, they'll be glad to walk you through what they call the sinner's prayer. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, Lord. Come into my life. You can come up here and do that. Come right up on the steps. God loves it when we're on our knees. We're very vulnerable then. You can do it right from your chair. You know, Jesus is such, you can do it from wherever you are in the world. It's not a time or place. You don't have to be in the church. You don't have to be in the sanctuary. All you have to do is be in the right place with Christ in order to say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. From what I understand, you're it. You're it. You don't have to know all the Bible. You don't have to be a seminary graduate. You don't have to be able to go deep in the whatever of the faith. All you need to do is say, Christ, I need a Savior and you're Him. Come into my life. It doesn't get much simpler than that, does it? It doesn't. I would hope that nobody leaves here today without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Again, you don't have to be deeply enmeshed in the faith. All you got to do, as Jesus, is believe. All you got to do is believe.
ABC, accept, believe, and confess.
That's it. That's it. Believe that Christ was born for you. Christ died for you. Christ took your sins. Christ is your Savior. Here's the other question. How is God calling you to express that gift of Christmas love in your life? To those around you, to your friends, to your relatives, to your acquaintances, to your neighbors, that Fran network, friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and most especially those people you don't even know. I'm not real good at that. I don't know. Maybe I'm shy or something like that. But I should do it more. I pick Carrie coffee up every Sunday morning. I don't like coffee, but she does. So I pick her up a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donut. And there's these guys who sit in there every Sunday. Then they're, you know, telling stories, telling whatever. And early on, I just say, hi, guys. And, you know, we don't get in a conversation. Hi. But I don't think they know who I am, what I do, or whatever. So I decided a couple weeks ago, I'm going to take some of those cards with me. I'm going to invite them to Christmas Eve. So I come in, and I forgot them. Like I was gone a couple weeks. I forgot them last week. So I put them in my briefcase this week to make sure I didn't forget. I go in, hey, guys, hey. And I just passed the cards out. I said, if you don't have a church, I want to invite you to Christmas Eve. We got it on tomorrow, and not a lot of talk. And they said, well, thank you. You know, most of them, they're probably not going to come. But then, you know, one guy, if he comes, definitely worth it. And they're very friendly. They're very nice guys. And I said, well, you know, I hope to see you. And you know where the church is? And they said, isn't that the place up on 71, the big place? I said, yeah, the blue place. And they said, yeah, Bob McGee goes there, right? Well, Bob McGee was in first service. He's the city, or he was a city councilman, and so they knew Bob, so they've heard of the church. I said, well, I'm one of the pastors there, and if you come, please make sure I come introduce yourself, because I want to say hi to you when you come. It was pretty simple. Didn't hurt, you know. I'm all in one piece still, you know. No, they didn't attack me or anything, you know. I came unscathed.
So this man is surprising me these days, because that's like out of his comfort zone. You told me last week, you're having work done by a dermatologist on your back, and he says, do you believe in Jesus? While she's working on him.
Well, I felt that knife go a little deeper. No, I'm kidding.
But you know, folks, we don't have a lot of time. So be bold, be loving, don't be judgmental, but there's ways we can do this that just plant seeds.
Actually, we had a very good conversation after that question, yeah. Yeah. You know, people you don't even know. How are you being called to share this gift of love this Christmas season? It might be different for each of us, but you got to listen a little bit. You might want to go, God, how are you calling? What do you want me to do, Lord? How are you being called to share this good news of Jesus Christ with others? How are you being called? Good question, huh? Let's pray. Most holy God, man, I love Christmas. I love that maybe people are just a little extra caring, sharing, a little more generous. What I especially love is the love that came down that first Christmas. Lord Jesus, thank you for joining us here and offering your life for the salvation of ours. Lord, I pray that each one here knows you and that they would listen for how they're being called this Christmas season to share your love. The love of Jesus Christ with their family, their friends, with all those, even those they don't know around them. And Lord, I just pray that you give each of us courage, conviction, that you help us to not be afraid, but be willing to just step out in faith, share our faith of the greatest gift of love ever. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we pray. All those gathered said, amen.
Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.